Today on Growing Through Grace.
Because the work of maintaining doctrines, not establishing or developing new ones, maintaining them, falls according to the Bible upon the elders of the church, or upon the pastors, upon the teachers. This is what God says. This is how we have to live and conduct our lives.
Listening to Growing Through Grace with Pastor Jack Abelin of Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California. And as we get back to our series in the book of Ephesians, we'll pick up where we left off last time in chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. As Pastor Jack continues to remind us in this message that it's by the finished work of Christ that we have unity, and that He has given us leaders in the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So here's our teacher with the conclusion of this study.
So this is almost like a holding cell, if you will, until the time of the end, where there'll be outer darkness and wailing, gnashing of teeth, for all of eternity. But the point of verse 8, 9, and 10 is to say Jesus has all authority to do that. He's the one who died. He's the one who descended. He's the one who took captivity captive and led these folks to glory and delivered them to the Father. So He has as the head of the church, He has every right and authority to say to the church, I'm giving you these gifts by my grace. Now you serve me with them and let the Lord use you effectively and serve as you're called to, because this is the grace that God has given by His measure. Okay, back to verse 11 in Ephesians. So back to the subject matter of verse 7 down to verse 11. And He, Jesus Himself, gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, pastors and teachers. So Jesus Himself, because He's the authority, has given to every man a gift to serve Him. Now He mentions four specific gifts here that He says were gifts to the church. Leaders who are gifts to the church to help the church accomplish its mission. Apostles. The word apostolos means to be sent out. According to the Bible, there were a lot of requirements for an apostle. He had to be an eyewitness of Jesus. He had to see the resurrected Lord. He had to have, according to Hebrews 2, the power of signs and wonders to verify his authority. It was through the apostles, if you read your Bible, that the Lord established the foundational doctrines of the church. In fact, I think it's chapter 2 of this book, verse 20 maybe, where it says, He has built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. So the Lord built upon the lives of the apostles the teachings, if you will, of the church. You read it in chapter 3, verse 5 here as well. Revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. So the church gets born. God has raised up these 12 apostles to be the teachers, the writers, the establishment, if you will, of doctrines. God spoke to them. It was an office that He used. You know the story of Judas, you know, giving up his office in Acts chapter 1. The apostles tried to replace him. You might remember that story. It is very obvious that Paul was the one chosen to be the 12th apostle. The one they chose never showed up again in the scriptures. But needless to say, there were these 12 apostles that God used, and He honored them. They worked in a doctrine, in authority of establishment of church practices. Revelation 21, verse 14, you'll read about how God will honor these 12 men. When you look at the walls of the city of the New Jerusalem, it says it'll have 12 foundations, and on them will be written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So they were important, if you will, in the establishment of the church. They were God's gift to the church. When the New Testament church was established, the office of an apostle was vacated. There aren't really any apostles today speaking new doctrines into focus, you know, or having that authority. There's still a gift of being an apostle, which literally just means someone who's been sent out by others to represent the Lord. But there's no longer an official office of an apostle, because the work of maintaining doctrines, not establishing or developing new ones, maintaining them, falls, according to the Bible, upon the elders of a church, or upon the pastors, or upon the teachers. This is what God says. This is how we have to live and conduct our lives. But God gave to the church apostles. That's how the thing got started. It was the building blocks, Jesus being the cornerstone. Second of all, verse 11, God gave prophets to the church. By definition, a prophet is not someone who foretells the future, although that's usually the way we think of prophets, especially in the Old Testament. The word prophet itself means to foretell the truth. In other words, to declare the truth. That's what the prophet did. If a distinction had to be made, if the apostles formulated doctrine, the prophets practically applied them to the lives of the people. They took the doctrine and they expounded on it to the people. Again, in the Old Testament, there was an office of a prophet. Speak to the nations. You have a copy of lots of prophets in the Old Testament. They were sometimes limited in scope. Sometimes they spoke to the nation at large, sometimes to other nations who were hounding God's people, sometimes to the world at large. But you don't find those in the New Testament. There isn't that one word anymore, or that one person through whom the word of God goes out to the nations. What it does is he begins to use the church to declare his word to others. So the office of a prophet no longer exists. The gift of prophecy does. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about if you speak a word in due season and you speak to comfort or to edify or to exhort others, then that's indeed a gift of prophecy. It should certainly be one of the primary gifts that a pastor should have in teaching. You know, when someone comes up to me on a Sunday and goes, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear, there's a couple of ways I can respond. Number one is, I know, the Lord told me. Which would be a big fat lie. Or I could just say, isn't God good that if we seek him, he'll speak to us? And we trust that that's exactly what takes place. So there's a prophet, there was an office of an apostle, that's gone. Although there's still apostles. There was an office of a prophet in the Old Testament that is now gone, and the word of the early church was to speak God's word, to encourage one another. There was a gift to the church of evangelists. Now, that gift still exists. There wasn't ever an office of an evangelist, but a gift of an evangelist. People who are able, with a certain ability, to communicate the grace of God to the lost. A person who can bridge the gap in a relatable way. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, it said that an elder should be able to evangelize. In other words, that should be the responsibility of every elder. Paul said to Timothy, last letter before Paul got killed, watch in everything, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy was really a pastor, not so much of an evangelist. But I think we're all called to evangelize, right? But we're not all called and given the gift of being an evangelist. Billy Graham was a great evangelist. He wasn't dynamic. I don't know how many of you guys have ever saw Billy speak. He was just, the Bible says, and God just worked on his life and through his life. Vernon McGee's another guy. Just a teacher, right? Not very exciting, but just anointed. I think Greg Laurie is given by God a gift to be an evangelist. He's good at it. Greg and I went to lunch a couple of years ago at a Mexican restaurant, and he had a buddy with him. And before I ever got to order, the guy taking our order got saved. So what is going on here? And because it was one of Greg's buddies who actually led to him, Greg said to him, hey, dude, don't step on my territory. I'm the evangelist around here. It was pretty funny. I think there's a gift there that he's been given. I think the evangelists are kind of like the obstetricians in the church. They're almost the church salesmen. They get out there and sell the gospel, right? They birth babies. They have a gift that is a phenomenon that the church needs. But without follow-up, without teaching, without establishing, they're not going anywhere. They have 1,000 people come forward and 1,000 people go right back in the world. They need the church. They need you. They need me. And then there's the pastor and the teacher. It's the only place in the Bible that these two words are linked together, where the word poimen, which is the word for pastor or shepherd, and the word didaskalos for teacher are pushed together. It just literally means a shepherd who teaches. Some shepherds teach, others are more shepherds than teachers, but those have to go together, right? To shepherd is the illustration God uses throughout the scriptures for the pastor, for the elder, to feed the sheep, to lead the sheep, to provide direct care by teaching God's word. In fact, I think Jeremiah came at a time when the shepherds were serving themselves and scattering the sheep, and the Lord, you know, rebuked them and said, look, I'm going to set shepherds over you that's going to feed my people, not rip them off. Hosea came by and said, my people are being destroyed because there's a lack of knowledge. It fell upon the pastors again for not teaching them. So the pastor teacher is kind of like the pediatrician, I think, right? He feeds the flock. No greater need than the teaching of God's word. There's a lot of pastors that I know that are denominational pastors that literally have 104 sermons. They do them for 2 years where they're assigned, and then they apply to their denomination to be moved somewhere else. And then they do those 104 sermons. And they can literally spend their whole career teaching the same 104 sermons. But I tell you what, weak sermonettes raise weak Christian nuts. It's really not the plan of the Lord. It is what you see in a lot of churches today, unfortunately, that they have no confidence in God's power. So there's tremendous uphill evil. If you read the news anyway, among denominations, they're splitting up over homosexuality and abortions and women pastors. And look, God's word is modern, but it's not open to change. He's written it already. It's done. And we are called to take God's view and with God's gift teach to the people God's word without apology, which is what I hope that we do. So we're all called with a gift. Use it. Jesus has absolute authority to give it to us, so receive it from him. He's the one who saved you. He opened the doors of heaven. He's come to fill you. He's given to the church these gifts to help the church to grow. And then we're told in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That should be very clear. God has given these gifts so that the saints could be equipped, so that they could do ministry by building up the body of Christ. The word equipping, katatismos, literally means to make something ready or to fully equip, right? So all of us, we need all of us to be sure that by the time we're done, the church is strong, built up. We can't do that without you and I doing our part. Could God do it another way? Sure, he would. He could, but he didn't. He's decided otherwise. The means of church growth that God employs are the teaching and the discipleship of one another, because so often, even the view of the church by many people is there's a laity and then there's a pastorate, right? There's a clergy. Look, we're all full-time ministry, and then some people work at the church, but we're all full-time ministry. Isn't that right? If you don't think Jesus hates that division, go read Revelation chapter 2 of the words of the Lord to the Ephesian church when he says, I love the fact that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And the word Nicolaitans, those were the people who divided between clergy and laity, like there was a professional, you know, group of people that stood head above everybody else. No, we're all in this together. Everybody's got a gift. So we all have to work. So God says, verse 7 and verse 11, those gifts are given so that that we could strengthen the saints and that the body could be built up. Here's the description for a pastor's job, I think. Then it is up to us to encourage one another, to find a place to serve, reach out to the homeless, to the poor, go out to the streets, get involved in worship or counseling or evangelism or cross-cultural ministries or go to the mission field or do whatever the Lord calls you. But between all of us, that's pretty good. We can get something done. In fact, verse 13 says, until we all come to the unity of our faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become teleos, perfect people, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Discord in the body is a lack of maturity in the faith. That's always the way it is. Paul so wrote to the Corinthians, when at times I should be talking to you like spiritual people, but you're a bunch of babies. And I can't even begin to give you solid food. You still have to drink milk, you bunch of babies. Divisions among you. But that's not God's intent. God's intent is everybody does their part, serves the Lord, and in the end, we all become strong in our faith. The word teleos means mature, if you will. The word is perfect, but in the Bible tense, it doesn't mean we don't lack things. It just means we've grown up, right? Our faith is settled and confident and secure, and we're knowledgeable, and we're not going to be moving away from the Lord. I'm in, you know. I might have a long way to go, but I've come a long way, too. That's how the church should work. So healthy sheep begin, as Pastor Chuck used to say, they beget healthy sheep. When the sheep get healthy, the fruit of their lives or other people get saved. And that's exactly what we read here. We grow up in the Lord, and when we grow up into what God intends, and we read in verse 14, we're no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, or by the trickery of men, or by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but rather we speak the truth in love, and we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even into Christ. One of the benefits of being in the church and growing and being disciples, it brings into your life stability, or if you will, protection from the enemy. You're not going to be a little kid who's going to be led astray. God has established you. Some people in the church have been saved for 30 years and they're nothing more than little kids. And it's kind of sad to see. Nobody wants to carry around a 9-year-old. Daddy says, walk. I don't want him. You got to get down at some point. You're breaking my back. It can be traumatic. Walk, but it's necessary. You got to go. At the end of chapter 5 of Hebrews, Paul writes, at a time when you ought to be teaching others, you need to be taught yourself the first principles of the words of God. You need milk and not solid food, because milk belongs to those who are unskillful in the word. He's still a baby. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to be able to determine between good and evil. So that's God's plan. Go to church, grow up, get strong, minister to others, have an effect, and protect yourself from the enemy. And Paul uses the words infant and rough seas and strong winds to speak about how dangerous it can be when we're tossed to and fro. We're just not, there's no bedrock of truth. There's no knowledge of God's word. Whoa, whatever we just heard, we're all going to die. Really? I think I drove that home, this whole COVID thing drove home how fragile people are, how fearful, and how quickly they can follow whoever's talking on the TV the loudest. I think the Lord had a good plan in all that. I'm not going to freak out. I'm just going to see what the Lord wants to do next. But notice that Paul says you can get caught into the trickery of men. The word trickery, by the way, is the Greek word for dice. It's almost like the immature are caught with loaded dice. You know, no matter how they roll, it's going to come back bad. The enemy is going to take them out. False doctrine, you know, cunning craftiness, which means subtle ways of twisting the truth in the words and all. The worry doctrines, there's a lot of those. We get a lot of books sent to our bookstore. Could you carry these? And you start to read and you go, never in my life would I sell this book. Book starts off, I'd been praying for years and fasting, and then I discovered a way to move God's hand. And this is the technique I'd like to teach you today. Trash can is where that can go. The gimmick books, the shortcut formulas, the testimonies of others that just ridiculous. I read a couple of weeks ago a book where a guy said, I've now learned to elevate my legs 6 inches from the floor so the enemy can't attack me. And oh, every prayer has been answered. Round fire. But you would believe how many people buy the book. Have you read the latest? I'm trying to keep my legs up. Get my prayers answered. Trickery of men, cunning craftiness, deceitful plotting, strategies of the enemy. Unbelievable. We saw it in the 90s with the barking and the spinning and the naming and the claiming. It's just a bunch of baloney on a stick is pretty much what it is. Satan will attack the church. How do we stay safe? Stay plugged in. Use your gifts. Learn the scriptures. Grow up. Stick it out. The process will continue. But notice in verse 15 that we are told that those who know the Lord will speak the truth in love. I just love that phrase. Not just speak the truth, because the truth without love is tyranny, isn't it? It's tyranny. Truth without love is tyranny. And love without truth is hypocrisy. Oh, I just want to love them. And then tell them the truth. They're on their way to hell. Oh, I can't tell them that. Why not? Oh, they'll get mad. Better now than later. Verse 16. From whom? So we grow up in love, speaking the truth of all things in him who is the head, Christ. From whom? From Jesus. The whole body now joined and knit together by which every joint supplies. Back to verse 7. According to the effective working by each part, doing its share and causing the growth of the body to the edifying of itself in love. The truth in love allows every member of the body to contribute their part. And as we do, everyone benefits. That's why the church is so important. That's why we always harp on you go to church. I really don't care if you don't go to church here. I mean, I'd like you to come. I hope that we can help and serve you in the right way in the Lord's. But you need to go somewhere. If you're not happy here, go find somewhere you're happy. But plug in and be available to God and let him teach you his ways. Make sure it's a place that every time you show up, somebody's got a Bible out. Here's God's view of the church, and here's what he hopes that the world will see in you. A body that is together because it has individual gifts. Not everybody has them all. So everybody's dependent on each other. If my leg is itching, my hand needs to participate. My eye has to go to it's right there, I'll get it. If my hand goes, I'm tired of scratching it, just shut up, I don't care, it's not itching me. Fall apart. We have a body unity with individual gifts. We have a Lord whose authority is over all. He's given to the church gifts to help us to grow. He's given us ministry callings to equip each other for the work that God has for us. In love and by truth, the church can function the way that it should. With all of our sinfulness, with all of our failures, with all of our difficulties, God's view of the church is it'll work. The ministry result, according to verse 13, will be a mature set of saints who will not be easily moved, who are walking with the Lord, and every joint does its part so the whole church can be mature and teleos, perfect, in God's sight. Pretty good. Now, if you stay home, we're going to hurt. If you don't get plugged in, we're going to suffer. And God will have to go get someone else to do your job. But I just want you to see, you have a job. You have a place. I don't know what it is. I know this is my place. And until, no, I don't know. Yay. I'm going to be 70 years old in 2 weeks, so I don't know how long I'm going to. Sure. What else can I bring up that you can applaud for? So we'll see how long I can go at this. I can teach for a long time. As long as I'm healthy, I'll be here. I was talking to my wife yesterday, because when you get 70, that's weird. That's a weird age. I started teaching when I was 19. That's 51 years, and I still love it.
And we certainly appreciate your passion and diligence to God's Word. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for all that you do. We've been listening to a study taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. This has been the second half and conclusion of a two-part study. If you'd like to get the entire message, we do have that available for you. All you need to do to order, simply contact us and ask for study number 3681. When you get a hold of us, be sure to mention the call letters of the radio station that you're listening to. And as we journey through this book of Ephesians, which contains so many practical lessons for a Christian life, you may want to study through this book on your own. We have a resource that will help you do just that. It's our written Ephesians inductive study that will take you through on a daily basis, verse by verse, through this incredible letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. You can use this resource as a daily devotional and a way to understand the doctrinal instruction that Paul gives through this letter. So to order the Ephesians Inductive Bible Study, or to get today's message, Just dial our toll-free phone number at 866-88-GRACE. That's 866-884-7223. Again, that's 866-884-7223. Or if you'd like, you can order by mail. Just address your letter to Growing Through Grace, P.O. Box 1954, Whittier, California, 90609. And as always, we have this and all of our resources available for you online at growingthroughgrace.com. Again, just log on to growingthroughgrace.com. And that will bring things to a close for us today. We do appreciate you tuning in. So until next time, as you daily walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, may you continue to grow in His grace. Growing Through Grace is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California, the Calvary Chapel Outreach.